So what comes into play then?
The ego is nothing but the evolution of the animal kingdom, animal instincts. It dominates the left brain up to calibrated level 200. And then at 200, a new energy comes in. The brain physiology shifts. And now the way you perceive reality changes. First of all, you have a different physiology of your brain, different neurotransmitters, different neurohormones, and different pathways begin tend to predominate. At 200 also, you have the onset of spiritual energy. Now, up to 200, you have the whole animal kingdom, and people below 200 are dominated by the animal energy of life. This is a left brain, constantly search for danger out there, etc. So it's the ego. At 200 then, by karmic merit, you might say, some people and large portions of mankind begin to experience the inflow of a different dimension of energy. Traditionally, in Hindu literature, this in the Sanskrit, it's called Kundalini energy. It's actually just spiritual energy. You don't have to give it a Sanskrit name. The predominance of this level at 200 then transforms brain physiology. It transforms how you experience yourself and others. Below 200, people experience, but they don't really comprehend existence. They don't really comprehend that they exist, that their beingness is an isness. So below 200, people don't value the life of others. Only above 200 do you begin to value. If I do this, yes, but what would be the impact be on other people? Huh? This Kundalini energy, then, has a profound effect. It's not just a mystical, magical Sanskrit fantasy. It's experientially very, very real, and people begin to experience it progressively. The energy moves up through the chakra system and then begins to transform experience. In the 500s is where it becomes predominant. Calibrated level 500 and up, 4% of the population, is motivated primarily by love. And then at 540, it becomes unconditional love. Unconditional love is not between a you and a me, or a me and a thing. It's a way of being in the world. At 540 and up, you begin to notice the beauty of everything. And at 570, it becomes stunning. And it has a tendency to take you out of the world because everything becomes beautiful. All the people in the world become good-looking. The women are more beautiful. The men are more handsome. Animals are more stunning. Trees are magnificent. You see the perfection of the architecture of all that exists. Everything that you look at it, you see that its meaning is what it is. What it is its meaning. So you stop intellectualizing about life. You begin to experience its reality. What does this mean? What it means is what it is. That's what it means. To say anything about it is intellectualizing. But the Kundalini energy, as it rises in the high 500s, now becomes quite profound. It's an exquisite sensation that begins flowing up your back. It flows up your back and flows into your head, into your brain. Then it seems to flow out through the heart. On occasions, it flows out into the world and does what the world considers miraculous. It isn't you that does this, but this energy will go out there. This lasts for some years. In this lifetime, it lasted, I don't know, 6 years or so. And you have all these the so-called CIDHIS, S-I-D-D-H-I-S, paranormal phenomena become automatic and common. The miraculous occurs routinely. If you're going to Lincoln Center, you can imagine what it is to find a parking place on the street in front of Lincoln Center. But you leave your house in Long Island and you just picture the parking space. And when you get there, just you get there, a car pulls out. It's the nearest parking space to the Lincoln Center. And you're not even amazed by that. It's just natural. Of course, that's the way it is. So life unfolds as the endless miraculous. And what you're seeing is really creation, see, and evolution. There is no problem between creation and evolution. For evolution is creation. I mean, when the hell did you think it was? You know, people picture God in such a juvenile way, you know, like he came and made a nice painting on the wall and then he left, you know. Now, creation is ongoing and it's timeless. The way it's pictured is evolution, you know. So evolution is creation and creation is evolution. You know, it's very obvious. It's obvious from the 500s and up. It's not so obvious, I guess, below 200, which you get into war about. But anyway, this energy then is exquisite. It takes you out of the world in a way, and you participate in the world, but you're in a different realm. The mind goes silent, and you begin to experience the essence of things rather than their appearance. And of course, the ultimate essence of things, which sends you into a state of ecstasy, is its absolute perfection, its exquisite beauty, and then the revelation that divinity of all of creation, all of existence shines forth. And this can pretty much take you out of the world. So this Kundalini energy also is what allows for what the world calls paranormal or supernormal phenomena, but they're just common to the condition. You're very intuitive, telepathic, you have distant viewing, you see what's coming ahead. I first discovered it in the office. I picked up a scarf somebody had left. Nobody knew whose scarf it was. I picked up the scarf. Instantly, I got who it was. I know whose scarf it was. So you could touch anything, and you know the whole history of it. I mean, you can still do it if you like. You get where this came from, the intention of who bought it. You get the whole story. You can take a piece of furniture. You know everything that occurred in the presence of that furniture. It's recorded forever. So these are just novelties. It can affect electrical phenomena quite profoundly, yes. It can accomplish electrical phenomena of its own just by intention. The first time it happened, I fixed a 100-watt amplifier. The guy came to fix it, and I looked at it, and I said, oh, I think it's fine. Instantly it went on. So he said, I saw that. I saw that. I said, so what? He says, I saw what you did. I'm not going to tell anybody about it, but I saw it. He said, how did you get to be that way? I said, well, that's just what the world calls the miraculous, but it's actually nothing at all. He said, well, I want to know about that. I said, well, there's a book even on about it called A Course in Miracles, and I had one copy left, so I gave it to him, and he left. So I guess, you know, karmically, he only came there to get the message to study The Course in Miracles, and I gave it to him, and, you know, the whole thing all. So everything is concordant, you see, the karmic propensity of all occurs simultaneously, not by cause and effect. Below 500 or so, you think that everything is a consequence of cause, and you don't see what you do as you move along. All phenomena are the unfolding, the actualization of potentiality. Everything occurs as emergence of a potentiality. There is no this causing of that. Everything is what it is, and by virtue of what it is, it shines forth in creation in the fulfillment of potentiality. So as you move ahead, you begin to see that the world doesn't move from incomplete to complete, from imperfection to perfection. On the contrary, the world moves from perfection to perfection to perfection, from complete to complete to complete. See, once you get beyond the Newtonian paradigm of causality, which calibrates around 450 or so, what you see is a continual emergence of potentiality becoming actuality. And this is because of the infinite power of what we call divinity. The unmanifest becomes manifest. Out of the unmanifest then arises manifest, and it does so by the infinite power of consciousness itself. Therefore, what you hold in mind tends to materialize. That's a saying, but when you calibrate it, you find it's quite true. It's actually true. What you tend in mind tends to actualize. So potentiality manifests as actuality as a presentation, which we call creation and evolution. You see, they're all the same thing. So life becomes effortless. The Kundalini energy would do strange things, like you're sitting in the hotel waiting room for somebody. All of a sudden, the energy moves. It moves. It would used to go out and move and accomplish the miraculous. You know, a big fight was about to start down the street. You'd feel this energy leave and run down the sidewalk. And I'd wonder, where's it going? You get to where there was about to be a big riot and everybody had given up and was shaking hands and all. Another time I'm going down the highway. This energy suddenly emerges. It goes out through the heart and down the highway. And it goes around the bend. And as I go around the bend, there's an automobile accident. In fact, the wheels are still spinning. Obviously, the people are praying to God and this energy. So it's like you're being used as an antenna, a spiritual energy antenna through you. And it goes through your heart, right, as a consequence of their prayer and the response of divinity. And then I sort of held in mind, should I stop? And I got no. A couple of miles farther down on the same highway, right here in Arizona, the same energy started flowing around the next bend down. Now what? I get around the bend, and by God, there had been another accident. This time the police are there and all such. Obviously, people injured, so probably people injured being carried out for help are obviously praying because this spiritual energy is just flowing like crazy into them. So the phenomena then performs the miraculous. There's no person that performs the miraculous. All these people go, ooh, ah, about so-and-so performing the miraculous. There is no person performing the miraculous. The miraculous is complete and total in and of itself. It's totally beyond causality. There's no person causing a miracle, nobody to claim credit for that. In those particular phenomena, I was very aware people were praying in that car and that this was the response to it. So anyway, those phenomena occur. They say it's continuous. It ran for 5 or 6 years. The energy, if you think over to the left side of your brain, is exquisite sensation. It's beyond the pleasure of an orgasm because its quality is profound and it's continuous and self-fulfilling. As I say, you have all these psychic phenomena. It's a mistake to claim credit. So people who are spiritually educated by a real spiritual master are warned about these cities when they arrive. Do not identify them. Do not claim them as yours. And if you're honest and truthful, you realize they're happening of their own. And that's very obvious. They happen of their own. They got nothing to do with you.